Saturday Meditation, February 28th, 2000. Okay.
In the raw material, there is the use of the slash in between words and phrases such as body-mind-spirit complex, or time-space, space-time. Another example is light-love, love-light. And I understand that with the phrase body-mind-spirit complex, that each of those words indicates a part of the whole, with time-space, space-time. I'm not quite sure about that, and I don't understand the significance of why there are times when the word time comes before space, or the word space comes before time. With light love and love light, it seems that both of those are parts of the whole, or two sides of the same coin. And I don't understand why light sometimes appears before love and love sometimes before light. Can you help me with that?
Tuning.
We are those known to you as the principle of Bakul. Greetings, my friends, in the love and in the light of the one infinite Creator, in whose service we come to you this evening. It is our privilege and our pleasure to be called to your circle of seeking. And we thank you for calling us. We are happy to speak with you concerning the terms of mind, body, spirit, complex, love, light, and light love, and time, space, and space, time, in which the slashes seem to loom large. However, we would, as always, request of each of you that you use your powers of discrimination as you listen to or read these words, selecting those thoughts that resonate to you and leaving the rest behind. In this way, we shall feel free to share our opinions without being concerned that we shall interfere with the natural progress of your spiritual walk. We thank you for this consideration. When one is attempting to speak to the heart of meaning, one tends to choose one's words carefully. When the subject is concerned with the nature of the fabric of that which we would call reality, for lack of a better term, it sometimes presses the limits of the language that is used in everyday life. It is difficult to find within the confines of daily discourse language which is precise. The terms that you mention, my sister, in your question are all terms which refer to elements of this so-called reality. Which have a character that escapes the confines of the words used normally to describe them. To create a more complex response to your question, my sister, we note that slashes, that punctuation mark between words to which you refer, are not used the same way in all applications. So we ask for you to be patient with us as we take one term at a time. We would start with the term that was developed by those of Ra to describe and define a person, a human being on planet Earth in the third density of its cycles. It would seem that the term person is adequate to describe a human being. And yet, in terms of spiritual and metaphysical things, it is an entirely inadequate term. For a person is not a physical being alone. A person is also citizen of eternity, an imperishable, an infinite being, full of mystery, relating not only to earth but to sky, not only to humanhood but to divinity, not only to that which can be seen, but that which can never be seen. The three terms are not used interchangeably. That is, they are in a specific order. Because the body is the creature of the mind, the mind comes first in the complex descriptor, mind-body-spirit complex. Mind comes next for the, we correct this instrument, the body comes next for the body. And the mind together create the earthly being. Only thirdly comes the term spirit. And indeed, the spirit is not an equal partner with mind and body, but rather it is a shuttle from which information and inspiration can flow. From the metaphysical universe into the physical universe, and from the larger world of essences and beings of all descriptions to the awareness of you, the entity within incarnation in third entity. Were you only mind and body, you should be wholly a creature of the earth, just as are the mountains, the flowers, the animals. However, the gift of third density to the animal called human is that wondrous gateway of spirit that cannot be denied and that springs forth from every human heart to sanctify and bless the experience of life and the hope of eternity. In this application, the slashes are as hyphens used instead of hyphens because of the considerations of this instrument and those within this circle of seeking that were responsible for the creation of the transcription of the original recordings of the conversation between the one known as Dawn and the group known as Ra. It was felt by those of Ra that since the questions of who a person is and why a person is in the experience of life on planet Earth were to be treated over a period of time, that it was necessary to create a term which would define itself so that each entity who became aware of the conversation would be able to understand without further questioning how the ones known as Ra saw personhood, and consequently that term was created in order to replace the term person. The implications of the term are substantial and far-reaching. And it is an integral part of the understanding of human nature, shall we say, that we wished to convey, and still do wish to convey, that this term was created and has been used by those who have followed the group known as Ra in speaking with this group. The next set of terms we would wish to discuss. Is set space-time and time-space. And to discuss this, we would like to move back from the term into a consideration of the nature of third density upon your planet. The environment which you experience as third density Earth is an environment that is highly polarized. The very fabric of third density sings of polarity. As this instrument was discussing earlier today with the live chat group, that it meets with each Saturday afternoon. The central glyph, if you will, of third density space-time is the Star of David. And that glyph is made up of two triangles or pyramids. The upward pointing pyramid or the delta being the male principle. The diaper or the downward pointing pyramid being the female. The female principle rests and awaits the reaching of the male principle, which then covers the female principle creating in that union the shape of the Star of David. Wherever you look in third density, there are polarities. There are physical polarities, such as male and female, light and dark, warm and cold. There are moral polarities, such as good and evil, positive and negative, radiant and magnetic. The learnings of third density have to do with choosing one of two polarities of the ethical kind, service to others or service to self, and then moving along the line of that polarity in accentuating it and accentuating it further until you have, bipolarizing, created yourself as a person of power. It is against this backdrop that we would speak of space-time and time-space. We wish to establish this background before we spoke of the reciprocal system of physics that was created by the one known as Dewey. In questioning the Ra group concerning the nature of reality, the one known as Don used the language of the system of physics created by the one known as Dewey in asking his questions. And the ones of Ra responded accordingly. Through this instrument, we can only be very general about the nature of the system of physics known as the reciprocal system. However, the central equation of the system of physics is an equation that can be written in two ways, hence the term reciprocal system. V stands for velocity in this equation, S stands for space, and T for time. And the equation is written either V equals S over T, or V equals T over S. Here, my sister, the slashes are used as mathematicians use a slash to indicate that one can be divided by the other. The one known as Dewey posited that there were two reciprocal creations that depended from the nature of the fabric of consciousness, which he posited as V, or velocity. In one way of looking at or experiencing the fabric of consciousness, the mismatch between space and time favored space. Because of this mismatch, there was a periodicity to this fabric of consciousness, as if a quantist were painting a canvas and were creating dots that, when looked at, became a field of color. In the space-time universe, or the universe of S over T, with the mismatch favoring space, there was created an illusion in which space was a field and time was a river. In the metaphysical universe, which was the reciprocal of the physical universe, the mismatching of time and space favored time. And so consequently, in this metaphysical universe, time was the field, and space was the river. When entities speak of the time travel, they speak in everyday 3D terms of a science fiction, an impossibility. However, in the time, space, or metaphysical universe, it is the only way to travel, shall we say. For it is the field. And space is that which flows. The inner planes of your illusion are in time, space. Your thoughts, before they reach the conscious word-making process, are in time, space. Consciousness, that ground of being which creates of the universe a unity, manifests in time, space. Consequently, if we speak of space-time, we are speaking of the everyday waking reality / illusion of third density planet Earth. When the term time-space is used, it indicates or refers to the metaphysical universe. Within time-space, the past, the present, and the future are a kind of globe, shall we say, or we wish to indicate a shape rather than a flat shape, such as a circle. We wish to indicate a living, rounded shape. Each incarnation that you experience is as a radius, which points always back to the center of that circle of incarnations, at the center of that globe is your soul stream, the collector of all experiences and the giver of all experiences to the one infinite creator. The terms light love and love light depend from the terms space-time and time-space. When we of the Confederation speak of the one great original thought of unconditional love, which created all that there is, we are speaking in terms of love / light. When we speak of the manifested logos, the seen worlds, we are speaking of light love. And the energy from the one infinite creator that is sent forth from the central sun to the heart of planet Earth. That energy which your beloved mother gives back to you as the infinite flow of the creator that moves from the feet upwards through the body and out the top of the head. Speaking of the energy body, you understand. We are speaking of light love. There are profound understandings wrapped into these terms. And we are glad to offer any follow-up queries that you may have, my sister. We are those at Ukul. We are those at Ukul. And if there is no follow-up to the first query, then we would ask if there are other queries in the group at this time.
Yes, yes, Quo. I had a question about crystal, specifically a quartz crystal. When held in one hand, a cool energy can be felt emanating from it. I was wondering what this is doing to a person's energy field, the quartz crystal. Thank you.
We are those that look cool and are aware of your query, my brother. The energy body of each of you is of a crystalline nature. It is sensitive in the extreme. And it is easily moved by the light which has been configured through other crystals. As the energy body is developed through the course of an incarnation, where the energy body is strong, it forms sometimes quite complex crystals that are of surpassing beauty. The energy that moves through crystals such as quartz is light energy. And just like your energy body, the crystalline body of the quartz, receives light, transduces it in certain ways, and sends it out as a function of its being, not as an activity, but as its essence. While it is clear from its effects that a crystal is active, it is not conscious in the way that you are conscious. It receives and sends light according to its nature. When a crystal and a human being have interacted over a period of time, a crystal can become that which holds life, not of itself, but as a thought form which is the gift of the consciousness of the human. And in that sense, a crystal can become highly individuated. However, of its own nature, it is as it is, whereas the energy body of the human is in constant flux. The light sent forth in its regular configuration by a quartz crystal that moves into the field of the energy body and has certain healing characteristics which interact in a complementary and helpful way with those energies of the energy body which have become somewhat disorganized or weakened by virtue of there being a narrowing of the flow of the light love of the infinite creator through the energy body. Consequently, the crystal has a tendency to be a healing stone as experienced by the person. May we answer you further, my brother? We are those of Akua.
Yes. Is there any detrimental effect that could happen if a quartz crystal is used for meditation very often?
We are those of Akua and are aware of your query, my brother. In general, the tendency of the use of the crystal for meditation is positive. We would make two conditions upon that totally positive effect. The first is that energy bodies, just as people in their physical form, vary tremendously. What is meat and drink to one energy body will be poison to another. Consequently, there is no way to generalize when speaking of the use of crystals. The proximity of the crystal to the person and the duration of that time in which the crystal and the person are in close connection vary in terms of the optimal use from person to person. Consequently, we would encourage each who uses crystals to be fully aware of the effects of that crystal and to monitor the self to be sure that there is not an overdose, shall we say, of proximity or longevity of connection to the crystal. As an example, we would offer this instrument. This instrument may tolerate a generally offered crystal, such as the one in this particular room, which the one known as Jerry and the one known as Len gave to Alan L. for research, with no ill effects whatsoever. However, when this instrument received a so-called healing tree, which was made of quartz, this instrument found it impossible to sleep in proximity to this crystal, in spite of the fact that it was much smaller than the crystal in the living room, offered for general use. The intention of the healing crystal was such that it was not easily tolerated by this entity. And to this day, it remains at a safe distance from this entity's sleeping quarters. Do not assume that a crystal shall be helpful or unhelpful, but rather experiment with it and build your intelligence with personal experience. The other consideration which might limit the usefulness of a quartz crystal in meditation is its shape. Often, such crystals are crafted into pyramids, and when crystals are in this particular shape, they are more powerful because of the geometry of the energy field created by the shape. Such changes to the crystal create a more powerful crystal. At the same time, that power can become toxic if kept within the energy field over what in your time would be 20 to 30 minutes. With those two caveats, my brother, the use of the quartz crystal in meditation is encouraged. May we answer you further, my brother? We are those up and cool.
That's very enlightening. Thank you.
We thank you, my brother. It is a marvelous thing to be able to speak with you. May we ask if there is another query at this time? We are those up and cool.
I have a follow-up question, Cole, on the terminology used by Ra in Law of One. When the expression space-time and time-space is used, it refers to a third density consciousness. Does the same reciprocal arrangement exists in fourth, fifth, and sixth densities?
We are those at Ukuo and are aware of your query, my brother. The terms of physical versus metaphysical or space, time versus time, space are indeed those that hold sway throughout the densities. It must be remembered, however, oh my brother, that there is a quantum difference betwixt each density. Light itself changes, becoming more dense. And consequently, it is not a one-to-one ratio. Simply because apples are not oranges and third density light is not fourth density light and so forth. However, understood, with that understood, we may answer in the affirmative. Yes, those distinctions hold sway throughout the densities until such time as time and space are no more. Thought is no more. All gifts are given. All harvests have been accepted, and the Creator sleeps once again in its infinite mystery. May we answer you further, my brother? We are those that were cool.
Yes, if the instrument is still working with enough energy for two more follow-up questions.
My brother, the optical apparatus of this instrument did not apprehend your words. Please repeat. We are those at Bukul.
I wanted to make sure that the instrument has enough energy to keep answering questions.
We are those at Bukul, and we heard you that time, my brother. And this instrument is sufficiently energized to continue taking questions for some time yet. If there are indeed any questions in the group. Consequently, we thank you for your infinite thoughtfulness towards this instrument and praise you for it. We would ask then if there is another query at this time. We are those of Bakul.
I have a question about the expression a love light versus light love. and I thought that perhaps love/light might refer to beingness or energy that is potentiated but not yet expressed, while the use of the term light/love would indicate doingness or action or energy that is expressed through light. Can you comment if that is accurate?
We are those at Bukuo. We can comment, my brother, but cannot say precisely that you are accurate. Rather, we would say that you have something by the tail. You have the essence of it. There is, from the standpoint of the infinite creator, as much action and essence in light love as in love light. However, from the standpoint of third density, in space-time, the light-love vibration is that vibration which is used to manifest all things. Which is used to manifest all things. The creation is builded of light love rather than love light. However, the activity of light love is not the activity of the human. Rather, it is the activity of the light expressing its nature by creating rotations and gradations of rotations that develop the elements of your universe. The love light is instinct with the one great original thought. While this original thought is the creator of all that is, it remains itself an essence full of love. And in that way, my brother, you see, you had the gist of it in saying that the love light was beingness. And light love was activity. But it is the activity of the creator and the beingness of the creator, as opposed to the activity and the beingness of a person living in third density, or indeed of ourselves. May we answer you further, my brother? We are those of Nkul.
Actually, I thought about it in those terms, but I did not say it like that, so hearing you comment on it helps me to get a better grasp. I will, however, continue with one more question, which is about universes. It does not concern the expression, the terminology that you have described, but as you were speaking of the densities reaching completion and the energy moving back into the creator, I wanted to ask if the universes that exist beyond this one in which we're experiencing our dance through the creation, if the universes and beings in those universes interact or are aware of each other in some way. And I ask this question because I am aware of information that came through the Pleiadian contact with one known as Billy Myers, where the fourth density entities that contacted him were describing another universe they were able to interact with. And so my thought was, is it possible from that philosophical standpoint that one universe can interact with another while it is in progress before it collapses back to the Creator?
Well, we are those of Okuo and are aware of your query, my brother. We may say that there is a problem in terminology betwixt the information from the one known as Billy and the information which we offer in that to our understanding. There is one universe at a time and space, if we may use a pun. The universe as a whole moves through the densities and lives and then is completed as one universe. There are certainly many of what you would call distant experiences to yours within this universe. The energies of one part of the universe do indeed interact with others. And there has been discussion of the possibility of those from the next octave being able to move back into this octave for one reason or another. Of that we can say nothing for sure. May we answer you further, my brother? We are those of Ukuo.
Well, then I would word the question along the with the expression of octave, and if I understand you correctly, consciousness moves through one octave and then moves into the following octave, but the interaction between those two is what you cannot really speak about. Is that more accurate?
We are those at Vakuo, and my brother, you have it. Is there a final query at this time? We are those at Vakuo.
No, not from you, Kuo. Thank you.
Kuo, I have a query. Often, my experience takes on the quality of a dream. Reality loses its hard and linear edges, and I sense a funny and joyful weirdness about the contents of the moment. I look at myself and my environment, and I'm just baffled sometimes that, in a positive way, that any of it exists at all. And I was wondering if this is symptomatic of awakening within the third density illusion in general, or is... or is this more specific to the experience of living on the cusp of a density change? Or am I just losing my mind?
We are those at Vakuo and are aware of your query, my brother. Of those three alternatives, pleasant as each may be to contemplate, we find that your first supposition is correct. The universe and yourself within the universe are far, far different and far less concrete than meets the waking eye or the unthinking mind. Truly, each entity is held in place not by gravity, but by his own set of parameters, self-administered and self-perpetuating. We are not saying that the physical laws of the physical universe do not exist, for they do, my brother, and to your great benefit. They create a stable illusion within which you may experience the progress of a lifetime of experience and collect and consider your experiences. However, the inner life, the life of the spirit within, is held in place at first by the tacit acceptance of what each other entity in the surrounding milieu accepts, and then by the perpetuation of that acceptance. This instrument uses the phrase thinking outside the box. Within the inner life, you begin with a box which consists of all of the suppositions you have accepted as true. Within this box are many systems and subsystems, all with their perpetuating energy. As you begin to loosen yourself from the suppositions with which you began your inner life, you gently and sometimes abruptly step outside the box. You are then free, to the extent you are able, to take advantage of this increased awareness to alter the way energy works within your particular inner world. Then the limitations of your environment are those chosen by you. The difference between one who is unconsciously limited in the inner life and one who is consciously limited in the inner life is that the seeker who has begun to penetrate the outer illusion and who knows that he creates his reality is far more able to take advantage of those times which seem so dislocating and dreamlike. By molding that dream to match his hopes, his desires, and his intentions. May we answer you further, my brother? We are those that are cool.
I'll try to be very brief. You said that the seeker, when experiencing these dreamlike moments, could take advantage of them by using the moment, by molding the moment according to his hopes, desires, and intentions. I take it then that this can be affected simply by stating, by affirming desire, by requesting that which one seeks?
Oh, yeah, that's something cool, and are aware of your query, my brother. This is basically correct. There is an element at such times of resting within the dream and appreciating the difference in the way life feels. The energies of such moments is that which is indeed to be appreciated, and it is not necessary to use such moments. It is sufficient in some cases to enjoy and be present within them. However, these are those moments of increased liquidity where the maturing seeker may begin to loosen the fetters which he has experienced binding him, yet loosening them in a way that is consonant with his ideals, his hopes and dreams. May we answer you further, my brother?
No, well, let the instrument recoup and conclude, and we all thank you, Kua.
Oh, we are those of Akuo, and my brother, we thank you. Indeed, we thank each who came with questions this evening, and we thank all of those within the circle for the heady opportunity to share our humble thoughts. It has been a privilege and a pleasure, as we said before, and we relish these times together. We thank you for allowing us to be of service in the way that we have chosen. And we assure you that your beauty is astounding. We thank you for being those who have set aside time and space for space and time to pursue the truth, to behold beauty, and to dwell in the precincts of love. Unconditional. We are those known to you as the principle of Nkuo. We leave you as we found you, in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator. Adonai. Adonai Basu.